Moeen Rabbani is a Dutch-Palestinian Middle East analyst specializing in the Arab-Israeli conflict and Palestinian affairs. As of 2012, Rabbani was based in Amman, Jordan, and was a senior analyst for the International Crisis Group, the Palestine director of the Palestine American Research Center, a project director for the Association of Netherlands Municipalities, and a volunteer and general editor for Al Haq. Rabbani was a senior fellow at the Institute for Palestine Studies, a co-editor of Jadalaya, and a contributing editor to the Middle East Report. He spoke with Nassim Amid, the host of Palestine This Week, about why Israel is so alarmed by France and Saudi Arabia's push to recognize a Palestinian state.
Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries are desperate to normalize relationship with Israel. And I think the only thing that's stopping them is the fact that there is no Palestinian state. If Israel was to accept a Palestinian state, all the Arab countries, as they have said, would normalize relationship with Israel. Israel would be accommodated into the region. This is like a win-win for everybody. But Israel rejects that outright. So I guess, why does it fear two states? Not advocating that as a solution myself. I'm saying, why does Israel fear that when this is its pathway, its route to normalization, its route to being accommodated into the region, its route to peace with everybody in the region? Why does it not do that? And also going back to the other point, you know, what is Starmer doing by using the two-state as kind of a threat against the Israelis?
Well, I think first we have to recognize that Israel has become a compulsively expansionist state. It is simply incapable of retreating from occupied territory, except, you know, as in the case of the Sinai Peninsula after the 1973 war, or southern Lebanon in 2000, except as a result of armed force. And it's certainly not going to do so in the West Bank, which it considers to be, you know, the heartland of Jewish existence. You know, even though I should point out, during the mandate period, the Zionist movement, when it was talking about Judea, was not referring to the southern West Bank, but to the coastal area, roughly between Jaffa and the Gaza Strip. So I just wanted to throw out that tidbit. So yes, you know, it makes eminent sense for Israel to at least be seen to take serious measures towards the establishment of a Palestinian state, but it's incapable of doing so. And of course, it will say, you know, security threats and all the rest of it. Whereas anyone who's ever looked at this with a even halfway open mind understands that the only reason Israel needs to worry about its security is because of its oppression and apartheid policies against the Palestinians. And that basically, you know, when you reject peaceful coexistence, you're not going to get peaceful coexistence. And it's that simple. Now, Macron's gamble appears to have paid off. What I mean by that is that over the summer, we saw repeated statements coming out of Paris that the French president, Emmanuel Macron, wanted to put recognition of Palestinian statehood on the agenda, but for maximum effect, he wanted to do this in as part of a broader coalition of the willing, if you will. You know, Germany, forget it, and the two states that he chose, interestingly enough, were Great Britain, which is no longer a member of the EU, and Canada, which is, of course, the immediate neighbor of the United States. And the significance would be that here you have three G7 members. I believe all three are G7 members. Mm. That would simultaneously recognize a Palestinian state. It seemed that fearing the US backlash, London and Ottawa didn't proceed, and Macron then took a unilateral French initiative last week, in which he announced that France intends to formally recognize Palestinian statehood at the 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly this fall. It's a statement of intent. It's not a statement of recognition. A lot can happen in the interim. Now, what happened in Britain is that on the one hand, you have a lot of members of the Labour Party, of the Parliamentary Labour Party, who either genuinely believe that their country, you know, which after all created this whole problem, should recognize Palestinian statehood, or are terrified of losing the next election because British public opinion, particularly in Labour constituencies, is so overwhelmingly supportive of Palestinian self-determination. And now you have this threat of a new party to the left of Labour, led by Jeremy Corbyn and Zahra Sultana, you know, that's probably not going to form the next government, but can ensure that a lot of current Labour members of parliament will no longer be members of parliament after the next election. So you have this absolutely crazy situation now where someone like Wes Streeting, the Minister of Health, and probably the most pro-Israeli Brit since Arthur James Balfour, is
held his seat by only 600 votes.
Yes, is now pretending that Palestinians are human beings, as far as he's concerned, for exactly the reason you mentioned. He almost lost the election. Yeah. So that's the dynamic I have, and. In that context, Keir Starmer at this a conference organized at the United Nations by France and co-organized by France and Saudi Arabia, Keir Starmer on Tuesday said that if that Britain intends to recognize Palestinian statehood at the UN General Assembly meeting, if Israel does not take concrete steps to do one or the other. But it seems that Macron, his initiative, created a wave of pressure on Starmer to do this, and appears to have worked. We'll see what happens next in Canada, which of course sits right across the border from the United States. And I think that was Starmer's approach too, you know, more frightened of daddy in the White House than he is of his own people and his own voters. But there's a broader issue here. You know, yes, recognition is politically symbolic and politically significant, particularly when it comes from, in this case now, two G7 members, and just as importantly, two members of the United Nations Security Council. I mean, if it indeed happens. But if it is not paired, in fact, preceded by energetic action to end the famine in the Gaza Strip, if it is not paired with concrete action to end the genocide in the Gaza Strip, if you have recognition on the one hand, arms deliveries to Israel on the other hand, it becomes political theater and a diversion. So the real challenge for France, for Britain, for all these other states, is not whether they will finally recognize Palestinian statehood, which the rest of the world has already done decades ago, but rather, will they use their uniquely powerful leverage over Israel to bring this horrific genocide to an end? In Britain's case, a special responsibility, of course, because it created this whole issue after the First World War. Without Britain, we wouldn't be having this conversation, let alone talk about it every week. And in France's case, because people often forget that before 1967, Israel's main arms supplier was not the United States, it was France. And it was France that enabled Israel to illegally develop a nuclear arsenal.
For KEPW News, I'm Curtis Blankenship.